Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Addy, third hour, Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
And with the first overall pick in the 2010 NBA draft.
All right, we're coming live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I don't know how this guy gets this stuff, right? But I just saw Woj. I mean, Woj basically just tweeted the first six picks of the draft. It doesn't start for 3 hours.
Who does he have?
He goes, here's how the top six picks are shaping up tonight. Suns take Ayton, Kings take Bagley, Hawks take Doncic. The Grizzlies take Jaren Jackson, yep. Mavericks take Bamba, and the Magic take Trae Young at six.
What, he just couldn't put Grizz in there, so he just ran out of room?
Yeah, I think he did.
Because he forgot to put Grizz in there?
He did. There you go. Yeah, nice job on TV. There you go. I didn't know what you meant. Yeah, he didn't actually write Grizz, but, I mean, there's so many things happening. The Magic with Trae Young. The one guy, and I really do like Jaren Jackson. I love what he represents. I love, you know, his projection, and I love that he can play defense. But his jump shot, while he can't shoot for sure, he's got an ugly. His form is not great, and his rotation is non-existent.
Yeah,
it's like a knuckleball.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know about that.
I mean, maybe if you're like off a little bit, it helps. You know what I mean? It doesn't spin.
Kind of trickles around and eventually bounces
around
in.
Or bounces straight up. I mean, maybe, but yeah, you're right. You do notice that.
Oh boy! But there's going to be a lot of moving parts here. Porter's injury and the Clippers, I think, hold an interesting set of cards for sure. 12 and 13, they could do a multitude of things. I mean, it's very rare you get back-to-back picks that early in the draft. But I'd like to know how many times that's actually happened. In the last 10, 12, 15 years where a team inside the top 20 has had back-to-back picks. But let's get some answers maybe to that. Certainly some other more pressing questions. Sean Devaney from the Sporting News, NBA insider. He is en route to Brooklyn, going over to BK, Barclays Center, getting ready for the draft tonight. Sean, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing really well. Two things really jump off the page, I think, to both Tiki and I. What is the way teams gauge the future health of Michael Porter? I'm sure there's mixed reaction across the board, but can you create an opinion that represents the majority? Do most teams feel comfortable with his medical charts, or are most teams giving it pause right now?
You know, I would say it's pretty well split, and it's really no gray area. Either you're a team that looks at it and says, I don't like what this is shaping up for, and therefore we're out, or you're a team that says, this doesn't scare me, and we're in. There's not many teams that say, well, maybe. You know, it's usually a pretty either or from the people that I've spoken with. So I think that's the situation. And if you like the guy's talent and obviously the fact that he's missed the past year, that's going to hurt his stock just as much as the injuries. But if you like the talent that you saw coming out of high school, then he's certainly worth a gamble.
And it's hard not to like that talent. He's a prodigious talent. But I wonder, you know, any direct intel for teams, say, because I don't think he's not going one or two. Teams in that, say, you know, 3 to 8 spot, can you identify a team that you know, whether it's Dallas, whether it's Memphis, whether it's Orlando, the Bulls with Markkanen could be an interesting pairing, that is sold on his health completely? And do you think you have a destination for Porter, or you're not sure yet?
Yeah, I think Dallas is okay with what they saw in the medicals, and would take him at number 5 if the guy that they like best, who is Mo Bamba, if he's not there, then I think they'd be comfortable taking Porter. I know they also like Wendell Carter, so Dallas, I would say, is one, and Chicago is another, and I believe Cleveland as well. So I'd have a hard time seeing him get past number 8 in this draft. But yeah, nowhere in the top three. Memphis is at number four, is still a bit of a wild card. So we don't quite know what's going to happen with their pick. But I would say, yeah, somewhere either 5, 7, or 8, I think probably makes the most sense for Porter.
You know, Sean, I'm looking at your mock draft right here. It's at sportingnews.com for those who want to go find it. You got the two Duke guys at 2 and 4, and 8 in his number is leading the group here, as a lot of people have that. As you get down a little bit farther, you get to the Cavaliers, which is their pick via the Nets, you have to take him Trae Young. Trae is another one of those interesting guys who a lot of people don't know whether or not he'll translate because of his size, if he'll be able to create. And we had this Buddy Hield question last year, same type of thing. You're a fantastic college shooter, but can you create on your own? The jury's still out, obviously. But what's the prevailing thought on Trae Young? Because he gets compared to the greatest shooter of all time and Steph Curry, yeah, but he also could be frail and maybe a bust. Where do people lie on him?
Yeah, and you mentioned the two guys that you hear most often. One is Buddy Hield, and if you use a top 10 pick on him, then you're hoping it's not Buddy Hield. You're hoping you see more Steph Curry than you do Buddy Hield. The other thing you hear too is that he didn't play any defense at Oklahoma, and I talked to him about that yesterday, and he said, yeah, I didn't, he certainly acknowledged that, but at the same time, he was scoring 27.5 points and getting 9 assists. So he had a different kind of role than to go out there and be a defensive stopper. So, there's certainly some question about that. Cleveland had him in for a workout a couple of days ago, and the feeling was that if he's still going to be there at 8, that's where he'd wind up. One thing about him is I believe he, over the course of the year, I forget the total number of three-pointers that he took, but it was only something like 14 that were uncontested. And I'm sorry, 19 that were uncontested. The whole season, he took 19 uncontested three-pointers. That's how much attention that he was getting on defense. And the uncontested three-pointers that he shot, he made 14 of them. He's not going to get that kind of defensive attention in the NBA. So I think that a lot of folks look at that and say, this is a guy who's going to do much better when he gets a little more space in the NBA.
Talking to Sean Devaney. I did not know that stat, by the way, about uncontested threes. That's a good number. It's a good nugget. One. Sean Devaney, of course, from the Sporting News, with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Sean, we know that the NBA is guard-centric in a lot of different ways, being able to create and distribute and obviously score. And the only other one that's really in the top half of this draft is Doncic, but we don't know anything about him. I never saw him play.
He's big.
Good but body. I don't know much. I didn't see him. I can't really evaluate him other than from what other people say. But there is another kid in Colin Sexton who's interesting, right? He played at Alabama, and they get
tough,
right? A good coach, obviously. You know, what can you tell us about him and where his prospects lie come tonight?
He's been talked about as high as number 6 to Orlando, which is a team desperate for a point guard. But I think Orlando's in a position where they're desperate for talent, so they're going to go with whatever's the best available as far as how they have things lined up. But certainly he's possible there. And I would say his floor is probably the Clippers at number 12. I think Charlotte really likes him at number 11. That would be a pretty good signal of what Charlotte's plans are with Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Should they take Colin Sexton? But if you saw him in the tournament, Sexton, you saw what a tough. A real grinder this kid is, and I think a lot of teams have been impressed by that. What happens is that his workouts didn't knock your socks off, and because of that, he kind of slips a little bit, but then you go back and watch the games and you say, oh yeah, that's right, that's what makes, he's got this toughness, he's a gamer. It's hard to see that in a workout like you can see in a regular season game. And just for another playmaker who might surprise is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He could go as high as 6 as well, and I know Cleveland has considered him at number 8, so he could be a bit of a wild card there too.
A lot of variety of point guard really depends on your convictions in the war room. There could be wildly different ranging opinions on all the players you just mentioned. Point guard is a really interesting spot, and I hear you on that. The Clippers, you mentioned them before, and I don't know how often, and maybe you know this like from a historical footnote if they handed this out yet at the Barclays Center. First of all, when was the last time a team had back-to-back picks like this inside say, the top 15, if you know that off the top of your head. And even if you don't, do you think that they're more inclined to take those two picks and move up or take those two picks and move back? Like, they can do really anything. They're a really interesting spot at the table tonight. Clippers, direction, what do you sense?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw. I can't think of a team having back-to-back picks in the lottery. It's rare enough just to have two picks in the lottery, but to have back-to-back picks like that, that's something that I can't quite recall. Certainly not in the last 10, 15 years since I've been doing this. But I'm not quite sure that I can say when the last time it's been. But it's a pretty nice advantage for them to get to that spot and know that they can pluck two guys that they want. I think if they keep those picks, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is certainly a guy that they're looking at. They've got a bunch of point guards, but they're not sure what's going to happen with Austin Rivers. Patrick Beverley's coming back from microfracture. That's a pretty big question mark. Teodosic, the guy they signed from Europe, they don't know what's going to happen with him either. He could be a free agent. So I think Gilgeous-Alexander, and they also don't know what's going to happen with DeAndre Jordan. So Robert Williams from Texas A&M, I think, would be the second pick there. But, yeah, you know, they tried to package and move up. They haven't had a whole lot of luck with that. So I don't think that that's going to happen. There's a chance that they could trade one of those picks away and move down. That's certainly a possibility. But I think they'll keep at least one of them. If I had to bet, I'd say they keep both.
Okay. Talking to Sean Devity with us, Sporting News NBA insider, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I love the mock world. I mean, I'm obviously involved in college hoops. I'm even looking at mocks for next year just to get a sense of some of the kids that will be freshmen next year in college. So I was watching really early where Miles Bridges from Michigan State at one point was firmly entrenched in a lot of mocks, like at this point last year and certainly at various points during this past season, inside the top five and certainly inside the top 10. You've got him plummeting to number 14. I don't necessarily disagree that he's not an 8 to 10 kind of a talent, but what is your specific reason for the drop? Because he's dropped a little bit here in the eyes of many.
Yeah, it's just a matter. I think there's a couple of things. One, obviously going back to school, I think there was more expected of him, and he pretty much had the same year this year as he did last year. Now he got a lot more defensive attention, and that's probably something that gets lost in that. I think that's one thing that's maybe a little bit unfair to him. But I also think this is just a better draft. You know, part of the reason he's dropped is that we've seen some other guys maybe that we weren't expecting, like a Gilgeous-Alexander, for instance, who have come up and really established themselves as top 10 picks. Wendell Carter being another one that maybe wasn't ranked that high early on. The other Bridges, Mikael Bridges from Villanova, in that same sort of category. So I don't think it's as much a reflection on him. It's more of a reflection on, it's a reflection on him because he didn't take a huge leap forward this year. But mostly I think it's more, you just saw some other guys just outplay him.
Yeah. Now, Sean, you've been all over this. You can see it at the Sporting News. You can see it on your Twitter account at Sean Devity. But the San Antonio Spurs have an issue with Kawhi Leonard, as we all know. How active, if at all, are they going to be tonight? What do you see them potentially doing? And what do you think ultimately happens with Kawhi and Pop?
I don't think anything happens tonight. You know, they've had some conversations, but they need to have the big conversation, and that is getting it for sure from Kawhi Leonard that he wants out, and they still haven't quite gotten there yet with him. So until he gives them that 100% I want out, then they're going to kind of bide their time here a little bit. And then they need to have a conversation with the Lakers once that happens, because that's where Kawhi wants to go. He's still under contract for next year, but he's going to be a free agent next summer. So he's got some leverage there, and he can say, Philadelphia, you want to trade for me? Well, just know that you're only getting 1 year because I'm going to sign somewhere else next year. Then all of a sudden that scares off Philadelphia or Boston or whoever else is interested in trading for him. So, there's still a lot to figure out, and that's not going to get figured out in the next 3-4 hours,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right, Sean. But do you not believe that he told Pop that when they met out in San Diego?
I don't think that he gave them 100%. I don't think Pop wanted to hear that. I think he wanted to say, here's our case. think about it. And you know, we wanted to hear the grievances and then say, here's our case. Think about it, and we'll reconvene. So I think that's where things stand right now.
Yeah, one quick question for you before we let you go. Dante DiVincenzo,
Villanova's
hero, man. The kid is a workout warrior.
Love him.
But where does he land? How, and more importantly, I think, what kind of impact can he have in the NBA?
Well, you know, I mean, he does a little bit of everything. You know, very good defensive player. His athleticism was really impressive at the Chicago pre-draft combine. I think most people thought he would head back to school, but he was so impressive at the combine and has had such great workouts that's why he stayed in. He could go as high as number 17, I think, to Milwaukee, and I think that the floor for him is probably 23, Indiana, but other teams that are in there that'll be interested. I think you've got Milwaukee, Atlanta at 19, Minnesota at 20, Utah at 21, and then, like I say, the Pacers at 23. I think one of those places where he winds up.
Sean, good stuff. Nice detail. Great stat on Young with the uncontested threes. Mm-hmm. Good intel. Enjoy the night. We'll be following you on Twitter. By the way, did you agree? I mean, are you on board with this? If you find out a pick, you're not going to tweet it? I mean, how is this going to – you going to abide by these rules or what?
Yeah, I haven't been one who does that to begin with. So
I got you.
I'll leave that to Woj and those guys.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Sean. We'll talk to you, bud.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you beat me to Dante DiVincenzo. I'll tell you what.
It's just fun to think about what he can do in the NBA.
I think he could be really good.
Me too.
I remember when part of this was, you know, a little lazy, the white comparison. Mm-hmm. I remember about maybe 5 months ago, I threw out like Bobby Sora. And if you remember Bobby Sora from Florida State, you know, good athlete, could jump, could shoot it a little bit. But the more I watched DiVincenzo, you know, thick shoulders, strong, elite, not good athlete, elite athleticism, quick trigger, a penchant for hitting big shots, coming off the bench for Villanova. I mean, just draining threes. I mean, I really, this kid could be an all-star, Dante DiVincenzo. Like, I think he could be that good.
No, I do too, because he's
really
an athlete. His game is only going to get better and stronger if he gets more use. And he's an athlete. You can't substitute athleticism in a game full of super athletes in the NBA.
No doubt. Okay, you know what? Let's get some calls here, Teak. Let's get some calls. You and I have opined on, and we'll continue to do so, but we've opined on a lot of these prospects and some suspects here as well. What do you think? You got teams. You got an NBA team. You got a favorite team. Who do you want to see your team draft? And more, maybe more or as important, who do you want to see your team stay away? Do not touch. You don't trust them. You don't believe in them. You're not buying them. Let's get the phones hopping. I've missed you guys for a couple of days. I want some calls. Let's go. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Your calls on the draft coming up next. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know how I didn't remember this, but we have our answer.
Yeah.
The last time, this is embarrassing. Because they tripled down. It wasn't even two. I mean, it was, last time a team, like the Clippers tonight, have picks 12 and 13. The last time a team had back-to-back picks, and I positioned it inside the top 15, were the 2009 T-Wolves. All right? Ricky Rubio. To be fair, Rubio, number one, Rubio's actually decent.
Yeah, he's a good player.
His jump shot's become a little bit more reliable. He's a great passer. He's not terrible. And there was much intrigue when he was coming over from Europe. They loved him. Ricky Rubio had a lot of pop, as I can understand why they took him five. Then they took this. This was maddening. Then they took Johnny Flynn from Syracuse.
Back-to-back
point guards. But they weren't done. Mm-hmm. Really trying to corner the market. Then they went Ty Lawson at number 18 from Carolina.
Wow.
I mean, that is just absurd.
That was 5 and 6. The bad part?
Yeah.
Number 7? Steph Curry.
I know.
And by the way, I found the one more past that one, too. 2001, the Boston Celtics had numbers 10 and 11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number 10, Joe Johnson. Pretty damn good player.
Good player. He's
number
good.
11, Kendrick Brown. From Okaloosa Walton Community College.
Big
I don't
man,
remember
right?
the guy.
Big man, I think he's big man.
I don't remember. 4 years in the NBA.
All right, who great was drafted
3.6
after him?
3.6 points per game over his career.
Who great was drafted after him?
01?
Richard Jefferson was two picks later.
He was good. That's out of good. Arizona.
Yeah.
Jason Real Collins, good. Zach Randolph was a few picks. Brendan Hayward.
Zach's brother was killed 2 days ago. See that story?
Yeah, sad story.
At the Indiana, I think, outside of a bar or a club.
Yeah, something terrible. Stupid. Something
mindless. 5 in the morning.
Emotionally ridiculous.
Not good. Sad. That was 2001.
Tony Parker was the 28th pick in that draft.
That's amazing that he's still hanging in there. I mean, are you kidding me? It's a long time. You know, and we're starting to get to the point now where, and we weren't really sure with somebody like KG, when you play and when you go to the NBA so young, yeah. The mileage in the odometer, it's got to be viewed differently than somebody who comes out of college after 3 years.
It's LeBron, right?
Yeah, no question.
LeBron's 14 years in.
15.
15 years in, and he's still relatively young, but that's a lot of wear and tear.
He's got to shave the head, though.
Somehow he's not slowing down, though.
No, he's not. I want to get to some sound here. We have something from Ayton and something from Trae Young as well. The draft with Flynn and Rubio, Blake Griffin, he took a red shirt year, didn't play. Mm-hmm. Hashim Thabeet, God, he was in the D League immediately. He was awful. James Harden, third. Tyreek Evans, who's had he's talented. He does a lot of things well, nothing great. Rubio and Flynn, Steph. Mm-hmm. Of course, my Knicks bombed, and they took Jordan Hill from Arizona, terrible. DeMar DeRozan, number nine. Brandon Jennings coming over from Europe at that point.
It's interesting, though. You got two MVPs in that group.
Drew Holiday, who was great last year.
Yeah, great.
17th.
Yep.
Jeff Teague went 19th. Some good players right there. Yeah. Who else did we miss? Damari Carroll, 27. But this is the key. Like, if you get somebody like Damari Carroll, who went 27th, or even Taj Gibson, who went 26th, that's where you just round out a roster. Because, listen, you don't know what you're getting at 24, 25.
No idea.
You draft a guy and stash him. I mean, is it just for depth? Is it for specific to need? But I don't know. All right, so DeAndre, we'll get these calls in a sec here, Mike. I want to play. DeAndre Ayton said, this was with us. We were out in the Final Four. A couple of cuts for you here. Mike, you can roll that. You know, let's not back-to-back. Ayton first up. We asked him what he was working on. This was back in April. Here is the expected first overall pick tonight, DeAndre Ayton.
All I'm doing in the gym, off the dribble, tight moves, working on my face-up game. And, still have my back to the basket because, there's going to be times where I'm going to really have to, score down low, but really working on my phase-up game because in the league is more space, and there's not no double teams and triple teams coming at you like how it was in college. But really working on my three-pointer and working off the dribble.
He's confident. He's a confident kid.
Smart. It's one thing to know what you have to do. It's another thing to be able to articulate what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And he sounds like he knows exactly what he needs to do to be an all-star type player in the NBA.
Well, he also knew where he wanted to go in the draft because we asked him, how important was it that he go first overall? This was a couple of months ago, and here's what he told us during that interview.
Yes, it is very important. I have I always say 2-4-2 to the world. I'm representing the Bahamas. I'm representing a lot of islands. There's a whole nation behind me on my back, so that's really important for me to go number one. That's why I play so hard. I can see myself in Phoenix.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. Actually.
Yeah, for my mother.
Devin Booker opened a little space for you, too, inside.
Yeah, I can see a little Shaq and Kobe 2.0.
I'll tell you, these guys have a high opinion of themselves,
they
huh? I mean, they Kobe and Shaq, his self-assessment. Michael Porter is Kevin Durant. The two other superstars. Who else did he say? Durant and Tracy McGrady. Who else? Who was the third? And Giannis Antetokounmpo. Come on, man.
I just am impressed at 19 years old, these kids can speak this way. I mean, I guess they're used to it because of the circuits they're on when they're, 15 years old.
You got to – every syllable that comes out of these young men and their mouth is recorded for history.
Yeah, it's true.
Social media, there's just a different – there's an inherent awareness. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. And you know what? Sadly – when you have somebody that can't communicate that way, and I think that to switch sports, I think Lamar Jackson was adversely affected by this.
It's obvious. Nothing to do with his leadership ability or his ultimate ability to be a great player, but you didn't think that he could because how he presented himself. It had nothing to do with how he plays the game.
No doubt. Sam's out in Dallas, Texas, and Sam is on Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Sammy, what's happening, Sam? How are you?
Man, what's up? I'm glad to have you back. What's up, Tiki, man? What's up, squad? Hey, y'all got the best show in the world, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Hey, I'm sitting here listening again, man. I'm talking about Kawhi Leonard again, man.
Yeah.
The Clippers got three picks that they want to give up for Kawhi Leonard when he ain't going to be there for 1 year. I'm tired of these NBA players, man, get to pick where they want to go. And you know what I mean? It ain't like the old days. I don't like that. They're going to give up three picks, first round picks.
Sense.
You know what I mean? Just to get Kawhi Leonard when he ain't gonna stay there. He done told y'all before he came.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you
man.
Can't do, but said that you can't do that. I mean, you can't make that move. The only way you give up, you know, that allotment of assets is if you have a guarantee that he's staying long term.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're dumb. You deserve whatever happens to you.
Because then you can't build around you. Look, Kawhi Leonard is, you're not going to be able to build unless free agents start saying, I want to go to the Clippers. It's weird with Kawhi because he wants so badly out of San Antonio that he's not being particular about which LA team he wants to go to. And he's saying, I'm going to go to the Lakers or I could go to the Clippers. So it gives me the sense that he's trying to fit himself into a big market, but I don't feel like he's a big market personality. I mean, maybe,
I never got that impression either.
Right?
I never, not once.
Maybe it's like a new branding.
Awareness, like an awakening.
Or a branding team around him something. I don't know.
Maybe he just hates Pop. Maybe he really doesn't like Popovich.
Yeah, maybe.
His style, you know, which can be grating, I would imagine. He's not there to placate. You know, kiss a player's behind.
Yeah.
And if there's a little friction and it goes unresolved, I think Pop is the kind of guy who's going to be a little ornery.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
He's not the, you know what I mean?
Instead, he wants to go to L.A. and play with Lonzo and they just won't talk to each other.
Oh, God. And here's the other thing about Kawhi. He can say whatever he wants about going to the Clippers. As soon as he looks over in the same arena and LeBron's running the show, he's going to be miserable.
Yeah, you're right.
He's not going to be happy playing second fiddle.
You're losing that. That image battle.
Yeah, it's
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's one thing to play second fiddle as a city, and like, you know, and I don't know disrespect to San Antonio, but if that's his perception, that's fine. But it's another thing to play second fiddle in your own building. I mean, come on, you just. I don't know where he's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's truly starting to feel like this is a branding play.
Yeah, it might be
more than anything.
Well, we'll get an answer soon, right?
Yeah, I guess.
All right,
certainly.
Don't rule out the Celtics. That wouldn't stun me. We'll see. Let's get the update here from Jay Berman. We'll come back. We'll do the blast. Get some more calls. Sit tight. We see you. 855-212-4227. Draft questions, draft takes. Let them fly. Berman's update right now. All righty. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And at 15 minutes, save 15%. Or more on car insurance. As you get a good look at New York City here, about, 7-8 miles away. Brooklyn, BK, my borough. That's where we got the draft tonight. And all sorts of storylines. We'll see what goes down. Kawhi's not going to be dealt tonight. I'll tell you, the one name that I don't think we'll get, outside of maybe Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
Shout out for Chandler Parsons for what? For no reason.
No reason at all.
I wouldn't be stunned if Kemba Walker's dealt tonight. I'm not saying I expect it. Wouldn't stun me. Kawhi would stun me. With Kawhi, you let the momentum build and you let the offers come in and you sort through this. And Sean Devaney was absolutely right. There's no pressing issue or you don't need to resolve this tonight.
No, not at all.
You don't have to do it.
It feels like we want it to be resolved.
Well, that's true. It's different.
Because it's great for sports talk radio, but it's not going to happen. They're not giving them up unless it's the perfect deal for them. Spurs, not Kawhi.
Mm-hmm. All right, T, we'll get to the blast. We'll get to some more of these calls in. Let's bang in Nick, who is in New York right now. And Nick is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Nick, what's happening?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Nick.
What's good, man?
Tiki, I've met you plenty of times.
Oh, I appreciate it. Good to chat with you.
You know where?
Where?
Park West Diner, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I sit you someplace. Anyway, all right, let's get to the point. Ready?
Go ahead.
How about Alexander? Nobody's talking about him. Kentucky produces point guards. Why wouldn't the Knicks take him?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting with him because he had he didn't work out a lot. He didn't do a bunch of stuff, and so guys didn't know about him, so he just kind of disappeared from the radar a little bit. He's a good player, but that team underachieved a lot this year, and even though it's Cal and it feels like, his guys are always going to be viable. There's just some uncertainty about him.
Now, there's a drop-off this year with the Kentucky kids.
Agreed.
No question there was a drop-off.
It just feels like this isn't a vintage Kentucky group of kids. And so it's unfortunate and unfair. They all get kind of downgraded a little bit, even if it doesn't necessarily reflect on what's going to happen to them once they get into the NBA.
They're pro prospects. Yeah, I think they were penalized a little bit. Thanks for the call there, Nick, for their lack of team success. But – you know, listen, personnel people are going to separate that.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, people aren't really lumping him in as, you know, Trae Young category or Sexton category, mm-hmm. doesn't mean he's not going to be a really good player.
Yeah.
He's really light. He's like 174, 175 pounds at 6'5 and a half. Obviously, he's got the nice wingspan. Obviously, you know, he's defensively, even though he's thin, he's got some nice versatility. I like him. I don't know if I love him. Yeah. I mean, I like him.
Yeah.
I like him.
The problem is with all these kids.
Good athlete, not great.
Going to put weight on, right? Because they're mature.
Jamal Crawford didn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I mean, but he was a baller, though.
Oh, there's no doubt. I love Jamal. Big shot maker and all that.
Like,
but
we make this assumption that, yeah, they're just young. They're 19 years old. They're 20 years old. By the time they're 22 or 23, they're going to be put together. And that's when their full potential is going to be reached. But that's a risk.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know that that's going to happen.
It's so true. It's so easy to say, yeah, you pack on 12 to 15 pounds of muscle. You get the NBA nutrition. You do that. Yeah, but everybody's body's different. You know, and the added element of confusion for these decision makers tonight. You know, first, about 20-ish years ago, mm-hmm. you really had to navigate the European market. Now we understand that for the most part. Not that every European's a home run, but you understand the level of competition and what's transferable, what's not. Yeah. Stylistically, it fits the European game more. So that's actually gone away for the most part, which is why I think Doncic is going to be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, seeing the highlights.
He's big. He can distribute.
6'8", 220.
Exactly, and he can score.
And he's a great passer.
Yeah.
If you're 6'8", and you could shoot, and you could pass, you could be really good. But the thing that's become, I think, the latest challenge here is that, to your point, Teague, so much of the projection is, man, this kid's 18 versus somebody like Bridges from Villanova, who's 22, 23, who's a two-time champ, who's gone through the process, who's probably 90% physically of what he'll be. So mm-hmm. his ceiling is probably more identifiable, which is a turnoff to a lot of teams because they want to see somebody who's going to pop and become a star.
You're right.
But a lot of times, you take a kid and he just doesn't morph into what you envision and you got a bust. Where somebody like Bridges, there's no way he's going to be a bust. He just might not be a star.
Yeah.
So there's not an easy job. It's highly subjective, and it's a crapshoot.
Right. The last thing you want to do is draft a rotation player in the lottery.
You ready for the blast?
Yeah, let's
go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, here we go. T.O. doesn't understand the concern that he and Julio Jones are working out together. T.O., would you be worried if you were the Falcons here, Teak?
No. I mean, I listen to people like opine about this, and they say, oh, I don't mind that they works out with T.O. because T.O. is a physical freak. So is Julio Jones, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, he doesn't leave much to be desired physically. But they're like, T.O.'s going to give him bad advice, and he's going to become a knucklehead. No, he's not.
Yeah.
Julio Jones is not a knucklehead. He's not going to turn into one because he's hanging out with T.O. It doesn't make any sense.
I think he's past the impressionable point. I mean, it's not like he's at the formative stage of his childhood.
Exactly. If he was a rookie, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. If he's a rookie, I might be a little concerned. Listen, Julio Jones doesn't start trouble. You know, you don't really know a ton of him. He's a great player. Mm-hmm. Keeps his mouth shut for the most part. He's an autopilot kind of guy. He's the ultimate professional. I don't know if he loves the situation in Atlanta. I mean, that's probably fair to say, but it's got nothing to do with hanging out with T.O. He's working hard because one thing about T.O., he always worked hard.
Yep.
Still running a 4-4 something. Do you believe that, by the way?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah, because I watched it. I timed it myself watching the video.
Wow, that's insane.
It's ridiculous.
He probably could still play.
He could.
Okay.
Nobody would sign him.
I hear you. Dwight Howard and the Nets. Now, this trade came down, obviously. Yes, was it yesterday, I guess it was? And now they're negotiating a buyout to become a free agent. So the question is, so Dwight will be a free agent. Should any contender sign him? My answer is yeah. I think you've got to separate yourself from the transient nature of his most recent NBA existence.
Four teams in 4 years.
All over the map, man. I mean, come on. The Rockets, the Lakers, not in this order. The Magic, obviously. The Magic Warriors got, you know, the Hornets here. I'll put it this way. If Dwight Howard was playing 30 minutes against the Warriors in the NBA Finals for the Cavs, I'm not saying they'd win. You think it would be a little more competitive?
It would have been definitely more rim protection.
No doubt about
it. And some definite scoring just down in the post.
He could still play a little bit.
Here's the issue, though, is that his contract was so punitive
you just couldn't afford to hold on to him with the way that unless you want to go over the penalty, mm-hmm. which teams just didn't want to do.
How about Portland? They've got all those guards. We always talk about them needing a front court. Maybe Portland. All right, Steph defends his wife after the Rockets trying to sabotage Aisha's Houston restaurant with bad reviews on Yelp. Tactless by fans or just fair game, part of a rivalry? What do we got on this?
I mean, this is a hard one.
I think this is simple.
Because they did this before the restaurant even opened. and he's getting crushed on reviews.
Yep.
But yeah, this is tactless, of course. It's a restaurant. I'm not talking about.
I have no problem with this. You know what? Listen, is it a little... It's not even tactless to me. To me, it's hollow because since the restaurant hasn't opened yet, no review is specific to service or to food or to menu or to ambiance or to anything. It's just that her husband is great and he beats the Rockets' ass every year.
Yeah,
so they're not happy about it.
At the very end, it just kind of brings attention, some notoriety. So now it's actually incumbent upon her and her restaurant to hit it out of the park.
That's true. By the Toyota Center, by the way? Is it right there? Is it down? It's got to be. I mean, Houston's not that huge downtown.
Of course not.
We've been down there a few times.
I ran through the whole thing.
Every city we go to, you run through.
I did a tough one there. I did like 16 miles.
Well, it's hot. It's humid in Houston.
Like
Houston's tough. What?
Yeah, I got up really early.
What was I doing? Well, definitely wasn't doing that. Sleeping. Oregon wants to extend a four-hour limit of pregame drinking to reduce traffic and enhance fan experience. Is this a good idea? So wait, they want to extend the four-hour limit, so they want to have people in the parking lot longer to do more funnels and to do more keg stands and to take more vape hits and bong hits when nobody's looking. How in the world? Now, let me look at this two ways. From safety, it might not be the best thing. From raucous ambiance, I think it's a great idea.
Until they're too hammered to go into the stadium.
I'm kind of in the middle on this.
This is a double-edged sword here, man. This is a hard one.
I think four hours is a little worrisome.
I agree. I think 4 hours is good. You don't need to extend this to like six because that's going to be ugly. Ugly.
I got to get to a game out there. Yeah, I've got to get to an Oregon game. I got to see the Ducks. I got to check out that whole scene. That's high on my list. Maybe we take a little trip out there.
Yeah, should.
Pack up the shop
here. Look that up, CBSSportsRadio.com/intercom.
Well, it's more about the TV side. Bring the cameras. I think the radio stuff is easy. Mm. I think it's the network going to follow us out
CBS
there for
Sports
show.
CBS Sports Network, hook that up.
There you go. We'll be out there.
I'm sure Oregon would pay for it, too.
They might, and they'll probably give us a lot of Nike gear, too. They hook everybody up. Dean Jones, the father and crew chief of NASCAR's Mike Jones, facing discipline for running onto the track to pull the son from a burning car. Is NASCAR's rule about running on the track too rigid?
No, it's not. This is a safety issue. This has nothing to do with, the emotion of this situation. This is a safety issue, and so he's disciplined, but it's only because of the harm that could cause from someone else trying to do this. So I completely get it, but I also love this story. I think
I was just going to say
I would do the same thing.
I mean, to hell with the rules.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do when you're a parent. We all know that with kids. So commend. I mean, there's really no other move to do but to run on the track and try to save your son or your daughter.
Agreed.
To hell with the repercussions. You got to do it. Amen.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
End up. All right, Teak. Biggest, let's see here. Biggest surprise to emerge from tonight. When we reconvene tomorrow for the show, what will be the lead story? I think it's got, personally, as I ask the question, then jump in to answer it myself, only because I think I have a quick answer. It's got to be Porter, where Porter winds up.
It's got to be where Michael Porter, who
takes a flyer on that back
I
injury.
I think it's Porter,
and
I think it's also whoever the Cavaliers draft.
I think it's going to be Porter. I really do.
If that happens, then it's easily the lead story. I'm interested in these two Miami kids. Maybe I'm biased because I always watch the games with Berkowitz.
Talking about Lonnie Walker?
Yeah, Lonnie Walker and Bruce Bowen. Because those guys they were such good players in Miami. Bowen obviously was hurt a lot. And I don't know, it's Bruce Brown, I should say.
What did you say, Bowen?
I said Bowen, because I was thinking of
that. I got you.
You know,
of course.
But he was hurt and didn't play a lot, and his coach kind of was at odds with him, and he's like, should he stay? And he's like, no, I'm leaving. He's intriguing, and so is Lonnie Walker, but the team, like, underachieved as well. So where they end up will be interesting.
Two other names that won't go particularly high, But obviously, you watch college hoop. You know Mo Wagner from Michigan.
Yep.
Curious if he slides into the back end of the first round. He might. Might not, though.
Wagner.
And Grayson Allen. Where is Grayson Allen going to go? Golden State?
Fourth pick in the second round.
No, he's good. I think Grayson goes first round.
Come on, get
I think
here.
He goes first round. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Peace. We'll see you then.
Dating apps can be a great way to meet, but are you tired of judging or being judged just by a photo? Then you're ready for the Match app on Match. You can learn about the people behind the photos, their interests, aspirations, and even their dating goals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.